Chapter 5. When I get home, Mama is waiting at the door to take me downtown to buy new clothes. She says she got a bonus at work, so she has some extra cash to throw around for once. I don't care how she got the money, just as long as I get to spend some of it. So here I am today looking fine. I got on enough lip gloss to shine a car, and I have a crease in my pants sharp enough to cut somebody. For the first time in who knows when, I look like somebody, and Charlize Jones ain't had nothing to do with it. At school, everybody's staring at me. Even John John's doing a double take. When I walk into class, all eyes is on me. Char's the only one that's got something negative to say. So, your mama finally broke down and bought you some clothes. About time, she says, as soon as we get to Miss Saunders' class. When I walk in Miss Saunders' room, she's already given out an assignment. We get to work on this assignment with someone else, she says. Char lets Miss Saunders know that me and her are going to be partners. Char's figuring I'll do all the work. But Miss Saunders is hip to that game. She says she's picking our partners. She hooks me up with Desda. Char don't like that one bit. She picks up her stuff and walks out the room. Miss Saunders acts like Char's leaving. Don't bother her none. Desda is a short, fat girl sitting by the door. Everybody in school knows she can cook up a storm. Turkey, stuffed chicken, gravy, 3-cheese macaroni, pasta salad, fried steak, lasagna. She's won all kinds of cooking awards. She even won $500 from a Pillsbury Bake Off contest. She called her recipe Desda Darling's Delicious Double Dutch Chocolate Chip Cake. She never will spend the $500 prize money, though. It's scholarship money for college, and Desda can't hardly read what the award says, let alone try to get into college. I hear Miss Saunders is gonna start tutoring Desda. Yeah, right. I'm thinking Desda's gonna read on grade level when pigs fly. Anyhow, Miss Saunders asked the class to pretend we're teenagers living in the 17th century. We have to write a diary chronicling our experiences. John John raises his hand and asks why we got to do this assignment anyway. Don't make no sense to me, he says, frowning. Miss Saunders looks like she's thinking hard for a good reason herself. Her fingers go up on her lips. Her eyes check out the ceiling like she's gonna find the answer up there. I want you to know what it feels like to live in somebody else's skin and to see the world through somebody else's eyes, she says. Miss Saunders takes a deep breath, closes her eyes, then tells us to do the same. When you were little, you loved to play pretend, to be G.I. Joe or Barbie. This is the same thing, playing pretend, she says. G.I. Joe's a punk. Don't nobody want to be him. John John yells, cracking up the whole class. You get to be anyone you like, Miss Saunders says, walking toward him. She tells us that this is an exercise that will show her how well we write and use our imaginations. So no more grumbling, she says. Get to work. Now. I look at Desda. She's sitting there showing off her big white teeth and licking her lips like they're candy. At first, I don't say nothing. I roll my pencil around on the desk. I wait for Desda to start things. But nothing happens. Desda doesn't say nothing for 10 whole minutes. Then here comes Miss Saunders like she's Big Ben, the clock. I hope you and your partner are using your time wisely. You only have 20 minutes left. I rip out some loose leaf paper and start writing. This here's what we're going to do, I tell Desda. She doesn't say nothing. She is just smiling and picking at some cud caked in her eyes. So I get started without her. At first, I pretend I'm a girl living in a drafty castle that I hate because my parents don't got enough candles to light the place. Then I start thinking. Back then, I would have been a slave. Maybe a slave girl in the bottom of a boat, chained to some boy with the prettiest eyes, and some girl who keeps stealing my little scraps of food. Skinny and stinking and starving, and all the time next to a cute boy who I like so much, it hurts. I start to write. Dear Diary, I hate fish, but I could eat a whale right now. I haven't had nothing much to eat for 3 weeks. Or is it 5 weeks? Watery rice with maggots in it is all they give us here. Mama used to always say I was the skinny one. She would cry if she saw me now. All ribs and knees, ankles big as yams. Worse than no food and stink everywhere is having Kinjari see me now. Mama would say I am a vain and foolish girl, here dying and wondering what some boy thinks about me. But I can't help it. In my village, Kinjari's family would know my family and maybe arrange for us to be married. Even at my age, 13. But no one would ask to marry me like this, sitting in my own filth, my head shaved clean to keep lice away, skin dry and ashy like tree bark ate away by the desert wind. Day in and day out, Kinjari eyes me, staring like he sees the sun rising in my eyes. I want to ask him why he looks at me that way. Am I something so beautiful he can't help but stare? I keep quiet. Beauty is where one finds it, my father used to say. Sometimes when I wake, I am so close to Kinjari I can smell his breath. Like mine, it is awful, but I don't care. It is good knowing he is near. Knowing he was near, I mean. I was sick, bad for a long while. When I woke up, Kinjari was gone. Dead. He had the mark, the pox, the girl chained to me said, sucking her front teeth like they were soup bones. The slavers tossed him over the side, she said. But this one, she steals my food. Can I trust her with the truth? I don't know. Akilma. I read the diary letter to Desda. She asks how I came up with a girl's name, Akilma. It's close to my name spelled backward, I tell her. How come you don't talk proper like Akilma talks in her diary? She asks. Don't nobody talk like that for real. Only people in old movies and books. Then I tell her how before he died, my father read me books where people spoke like that. Some of it stuck, I guess. Miss Saunders picks up the papers and starts reading some out loud. Don't read mine, I think, turning my head to the wall. Desda raises her hand and asks Miss Saunders to read ours. Miss Saunders says it's the best. Most thoughtful piece she's heard so far. Desda, Malika, good job, she says. Desda smiles. She sits up straight and tall and shows off them giant teeth of hers. I should be pissed off at her, since she didn't do a dang thing to help me write my essay. But today I got on my new clothes, and I'm feeling mighty fine. I don't crack on Desda or nothing. I just get myself on out of there. I don't even answer Char when she calls for me to come her way. This is my day, and I'm not letting nobody spoil it. Nobody. Miss Saunders has got other ideas, though. She pulls me and Desda aside and says she wants us to keep doing the assignment. No one else, just us. Desda asks what we gonna get out of it. Extra credit is all. Desda pulls out right then, admits she didn't have nothing much to do with writing the assignment, that I did all the work. Miss Saunders turns around to me. Desda walks off. I don't know. Maybe it's these new clothes and all. But I say okay. I don't want to spoil my good mood by telling no teacher where to get off today. Besides, I liked writing that stuff. I didn't tell that to Miss Saunders, though. She could use it against me somehow.